Resurrected Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast, on RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door.
Welcome to Resurrect the Republic, Dirty Uncle Sam Truth Radio Broadcast on RBN. Folks, we all know a long time ago, September 11th, 2001, I remember where I was that day. I was standing in the lounge of my firehouse in New Jersey when I saw what, of course, would be something that would affect us all so greatly and for so long. The problem that I have and that I've had for a long time is that there has been no official ceremony for truth in real, not with the acknowledgement of the rest of the world. Instead, we have had to, and a great many of us, keep plugging away at the truth. I have a very special guest today that I'm sure many of our listeners know very well. Dr. Alan Sobroski, PhD from the University of Michigan, a writer, consultant specializing in national and international security affairs. In December 88, he received the Superior Civilian Service Award after more than 5 years of service at the United States Army War College as Director of Studies, Strategic Studies Institute, and holder of the General of the Army Douglas MacArthur Chair of Research. He is listed in the Who's Who in the East, 23rd edition. Marine Corps veteran, in 1986, a graduate of the U.S. Army War College. Dr. Sobroski's teaching and research appointments have included the United States Military Academy, the Center for Strategic and International Studies, Middlebury College, Catholic University. While in government service, he held concurrent adjunct professorships at Georgetown University and the Johns Hopkins University School of Advanced International Studies. Dr. Sobroski has lectured widely on defense and foreign affairs in the United States and abroad. And out of respect for those men who died so bravely running in, my brothers who were my instructors in FDNY Rescue 1, and to all of the firefighters, police, and civilians who perished that day, we owe a debt, a duty. That's what the Constitution says. Oh, sorry. And we have declared independence to become one of the greatest nations in the world. And what a slap in the face it is that we cannot stand for the truth. Here's a little sample of Dr. Alan Sobroski, and one of the pieces that I have shared, if I had to count how many thousands of times, I wouldn't be able to.
They did it. I have had long conversations over the past 2 weeks with contacts at the Army War College, at Headquarters Marine Corps, and I made it absolutely clear in both cases that it is 100% certain that 9/11 was a Mossad operation. And what I showed them immediately afterwards, the third building at the World Trade Center going down, WTC 7. And they look at that, And I said, now you understand that if one of the buildings was wired for demolition, all of them were wired for demolition. And what Americans need to understand, they didn't. They didn't. And if they do understand that, Israel will flat out disappear from this earth. 9/11 has led directly to 60,000 Americans dead and wounded. God knows how many hundreds of thousands of people in other countries that we killed or wounded or made homeless. If Americans ever know that Israel did this, they're going to scrub them off the earth, and they're not going to give a rat's ass what the cost is. They are not going to care. They will do it. The Zionists are playing this as truly an all-or-nothing exercise, because if they lose this one, if the American people ever realize what's happened, they're done.
You know, it'll be a bloody, brutal war, and they're gone. I mean, it's not even going to be a close contest.
Three buildings went down. The third was not hit by a plane. It was wired for controlled demolition. Therefore, all of them were wired for controlled demolition. You know, what I have done when I presented it to these people, and I said, just look at this. Look at this picture. You know, I'm not going to give you an argument. Just look at it. And they look at the film, and without exception, they come back and they say, they did it, didn't they? I said, yep, they did. They did 9/11.
Dr. Alan Zabrowski, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Sir, I've long respected you and followed your so many interviews, Press TV, and so many interviews. I have nothing but respect for you. I for years have been, like many, many other people, have been traumatized by this event. Well, welcome to the show, sir. Where would you like to begin?
Well, I think the first thing is that I need to make it very clear that I was wrong in one respect about 9/11.
Okay.
And, excuse me, I'm getting over a cold, as I told you.
No, that's fine, sir. Don't worry about it.
I had made it very clear that the WTC 7, that third building at the World Trade Center going down, was what I called once the smoking artillery brigade. It wasn't a smoking gun, it was a smoking artillery brigade.
Yep.
Because it was so obvious that it was a controlled demolition, and that the planes which impacted WTC 1 and 2, and the one that ended up in the ground in Pennsylvania, Shanksville, were simply intended to provide sort of a gruesome distraction.
Yes.
Everyone would be focused on the planes and on the buildings going down, and they wouldn't stop to question why the buildings went down, why buildings that were constructed to take multiple impacts from planes suddenly went down into their own footprint instead of falling sideways and throwing debris in every direction you can imagine, particularly WTC 7. And so I said, concentrate on that. This is the major issue. Well, objectively, that's true. But then you get to the question, well, even if people accept that, how do you mobilize people to do something about it? You know, you can't get the mass public organized in ranks and have it march somewhere.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen. An awful lot of people understand that there was something terribly, terribly wrong with what happened there, certainly with that third tower, WTC 7. But no one has been able to focus attention on doing anything about it. You know, there are court cases running back and forth on it. First, the Saudis are going to be blamed now, another distraction from Israel. And no one is really able to get people organized to do something. So my mistake, and it was a very obvious mistake, and I'm surprised that I made it, is that I concentrated on the most visible issue and not the most manageable issue.
Well, you followed
the manageable
logic
issue
first, right?
Is the Pentagon.
Yeah.
That's the manageable issue. Because if the military is probably the last institution, and that is no longer the case as it was 6 years ago, the institution, including its senior uniform leadership, has been very highly selected, very carefully selected by Obama and his crew, and it is no longer a lot of the institution that I understood 6 years ago. But the military at least has organization. It has measures of combat leadership. It has a capacity to act. And if one were to focus on the Pentagon and demonstrate that the argument that a 757 hit it simply is not feasible.
It's just not.
That they could do something. The military could do something. Whether they would or not is a different issue, but at least it's possible. The World Trade Center, it's not possible to mobilize people to do something about it.
You know, I looked so deeply into that. There was a young man, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, that went down there and interviewed the cab driver and the police, and he got a real, I mean, amazing. This is what the mainstream media is intended to do, right? That's what we're told. But this this independent journalist went down there and just knocked it out of the water. It's just not, I mean, between Rumsfeld the day before announcing the missing money, and the fact that yes. The one spot in the Pentagon that was hit had the records of all of those transactions. I mean,
And the accounting team, almost all of which died.
Which were our men and women, which it hurts even worse knowing that these Zionists have been in these key positions. One problem that I've had for a long time is dual citizenship positions and high positions of national security and any kind of power in this country.
Yep.
Why? What? Nobody can logically, when I ask them the question, do you think that we should have people from other nations sitting in national security posts here, especially ones that are considered among the so-called most aggressive conduct these operations in the United States, like we saw immediately following, I don't know how many art students. Then I was sent a picture and I saw the art students inside the World Trade Center on the floor that they were, that Silverstein gave them to kind of camp out in, I guess, whatever. And in the picture, there's these boxes lined up on both sides. And it's really kind of neat, you know, how boxes from corporations have numbers on them, right? The numbers mm-hmm. come back to demolitions equipment. I mean, it's so, they played it for all or nothing, but they failed miserably. I mean, really, for an intelligence operation, you know, one of the things that I've heard from people the most, and maybe you can give me your thoughts on this. People have said to me, well, if it was a conspiracy, there would have been, there so many people would have had to have been involved that we would know by now. Well, the problem is that we do know by now. How do we get this?
Well, not only that. You picked up three different things. One is the dual citizen. That's only half of it.
Mm-hmm.
The other one, and I was first told this when I was giving a talk to B'nai B'rith in Memphis about 30 odd years ago.
Uh-huh.
And they talked openly. I don't think they'd have me back now. They talked openly about dual loyalty. These were U.S. citizens, not dual U.S. Israeli citizens, but U.S. citizens talking about openly about dual loyalty to Israel and the United States. And I did not endear myself to them by saying that what they were talking about was a form of political bigamy, which is every bit as hypocritical and dishonest as marital bigamy.
Yeah.
They were not happy with that, but it's effectively the case. And what you have in the U.S. government is not only a horde, I said horde, H-O-R-D-E,
yes.
No other word,
yes.
A horde of dual Israeli citizens, but you've got that, in an ocean of American Jews who are U.S. citizens and openly proclaim dual loyalty. And in both of those cases, the Israel component is clearly takes precedence over the U.S. component. The ownership, the effective ownership of the Congress, particularly the Senate, has given them control of the appointments process. They can effectively get almost anyone vetoed they want and can get into office, search as a political appointee, almost anyone that they want. The only time that they've missed an open gambit was when they pushed for an American attack on Syria in 2013.
Yeah, we fought back like, oh.
Well, you know, it, for some odd reason, that was the only time the American public actually got energized, and the no was pretty clear, so we had to back into it, and Syria's been ripped up anyway. So, which is the Israeli goal. I mean, right now, every single opponent of theirs, except for Iran, has been destroyed by us in concert with a few other countries, whether by civil war, outright attack like Iraq and Libya. You know, that's the way the game has gone. So, I mean, for the Israeli perspective, this has been a clear win. They didn't worry about tying up all the loose ends. Excuse me. The fourth week of a two-week cold.
It's okay, sir.
They didn't worry about tying up the loose ends because their own people were going to be conducting the investigation. At Homeland Security,
yeah, wasn't that beautiful?
At FBI, I mean, their own people were going to be conducting the investigation.
And I know that there was a coup going on within the FBI itself over this.
So you got all. So you didn't really have to worry about it, and so no one would look carefully at what had happened. And from a lot of the rest of us were simply stunned by what happened. And I mean, I know I was.
I
couldn't believe it. And, you know, the rational thought processes that should have kicked in, I said, but, you know, but buildings don't go down like that.
No, you know.
I've seen them.
You made a good point with the rational thought process that kicks in. But at the same time, these architects of this event knew very well for years and years and years of studying from Tavistock on, they learned how to paint an impression into the minds. I was standing there. I immediately went to the recruiter and tried joining the Marine Corps, and I was failed out for my back and my feet. I went back three times trying to join the Marine Corps because I wanted to go to Iraq to kill as many. Excuse me, folks, please forgive but what I said was I wanted to kill as many ragheads as possible. I fell for it, hook, line, sinker, like a dunce, dunce. And very, it wasn't very, it didn't take me long. Once I spoke to the officer who detained the Israelis, it was like a smack in the face. And I swear to you, sir, I cried for hours. Hours.
You know, the thing of it is that was so difficult, I think, for all of us looking at this, is that regardless of the individuals involved and any of their allegiance to this, to Israel or anything else, you know, the idea that our own government could do something that monstrous.
Well, our own government.
Was something we stopped on. And it occurred to me later that actually false flags are the normal American way of going to war.
Yes.
This was not an exception. I mean, just think of a few of the other incidents.
No, sir, we're going into break. Hang on. We will be right back. Resurrect the Republic, Dirty Uncle Sam, Tom Lacabara, Stuart, Bruce Ray Riggs, on with Dr. Alan Sobrowski. We'll be right back.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke.
How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5. Attention RBN listeners. Dr. Ignatius Piazza, founder of Front Sight Firearms Training, and Fate have come together to allow RBN to run another fundraiser till the end of the year. We didn't really expect this opportunity, but thankfully, it's here and running as you hear this. We've set a goal of 500 donations by the end of the year, which averages around 6 per day, 7 days a week. When you realize all the folks listening to RBN all hours of the day and night, we think our goal is realistic and extremely critical to keep RBN on the air. If everybody listening will seriously assess their ability with firearms and then take advantage of this opportunity, we feel our goal is very conservative. Please take the time to look over Front Sight's website to get an idea of an amazing facility and the world-class training that's going on there. If this interests you, you likely will have like-minded friends that would like to know. Tell them. If for some reason some listeners are not personally interested, consider sons and daughters, close friends, nieces or nephews, top valued employees, inform club members, share the opportunity with police and fire departments. It's not too early to plan Christmas presents for special people. This fundraiser has come in an extremely critical time for RBN because the dire need for equipment upgrades. We're running on the spare tire currently with no money to fix a flat, and the fuel gauge is bouncing on E. This is one of the most valuable ways you can help RBN financially because you get Commander lifetime membership value that is 50 times your donation and can be passed on forever. How many times during life do you get to leave a legacy? See more details and contact info on our webpage, republicbroadcasting.org, and thank you.
Welcome back, Resurrect the Republic, Dirty Uncle Sam, Truth Radio Broadcast, your host Tom Lacovara-Stewart, Bruce Ray Riggs, Lori Anderson. I'm on the line right now with Dr. Alan Sobroski. Sir, you were unfortunately rudely interrupted by that last commercial break. Would you like to continue that thought?
Sure, just briefly, because it's something that I think we need to pay attention to.
I agree.
Every time we're told that there's yet another war that we just have to go off to. And that's that the normal pattern for America going to war is a false flag operation. Either someone is blamed, someone who is innocent is actually blamed for an incident which starts a war, or the basis for the incident is completely misrepresented to the American public, and that's normal. The Hearst newspaper empire and some corporations such as United Fruit wanted the Spanish out of the Caribbean, specifically Cuba, and engineered the destruction of the battleship Maine in Havana Harbor. Never, you know, the people didn't really come to think that, you know, why would the Spanish blow up an American battleship in their own harbor? You know, why do you do that? Didn't matter. Dozens of people had to be aware of that. Dozens of people. No one knew.
Yeah.
World War One. A German U-boat torpedoed a passenger ship called the Lusitania.
Yep.
Many people, including Americans, died. The Germans said the ships were carrying munitions from North America to Britain. Those munitions made them legitimate targets.
Yeah.
The United States vehemently denied it, and the United States had been in collusion with the British government to ensure that passenger ships had munitions on them, knowing that at some point one would be sunk.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I have never been really sure about Pearl Harbor, but well before that, for at least 9 months before that, the U.S. Navy had been waging an undeclared war against German submarines in the Atlantic in concert with the British Navy.
Yep.
No one in the United States in the newspapers published that.
I call Great Britain Rothschild's army.
I mean, thousands of people had to be aware of that.
Yeah.
That was no small thing. Korea was straightforward. We didn't know it. North Korea was a good enemy. They really did that.
Yeah. Vietnam is what really, really kind of ticked me off. When I found out about the Gulf of Tonkin,
mm-hmm.
It took me probably 2 weeks to cool down.
Yeah, when you think about it, first of all, you had the crews of the ship that were involved.
Oh, yeah.
You had Sink Pack. You had Thomas Mack V in Saigon at a minimum of these, to say nothing of what was going to be happening in the Pentagon. I mean, there were tens of thousands of people who had to be involved in this. Not a word for decades.
Yeah.
So it's not surprising that this was that 9/11 was a false flag operation. The only thing that made it somewhat different, and I'm using the term somewhat in quotation marks,
uh-huh.
with big exclamation marks at the end of it, is that all of the other ones were done by people within different parts of the American political and economic establishment for their own advantage. What made 9/11 different is that it was done for the advantage of a foreign country. And that is the only thing which set our path into the Middle East, where we run around as Israel's janissaries, if you're kind, Israel's Hessians, if you're not kind, has been that it was done by American citizens, on behalf of a foreign country, knowing what the consequences were going to be in general terms in with regard to our loss of life and the loss of life overseas. They did not care.
How could they disillusion the amount of people that they needed to pull this off? I mean, these people are some dedicated is beyond, they're fixated at, they just thrown all morality to the wind. There is no morality with these people. They're psychopaths.
They have their own morality, and their morality is, my Israel, may it always be right, but right or wrong, my Israel.
Well, you know, I was trying to tell my friend.
Yeah, that's true. That's a simple part of it.
Yeah. I was telling a good friend of mine who is, we can go off into the conspiracy world in a little bit. We're going to another break. We'll be right. This is the weird break for this time, so I'm getting used to this still. We'll be right back after a few words from our sponsors. Resurrect the Republic, Dirty Uncle Sam on the line with Dr. Alan Sabrowski.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite. Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back. Resurrect the Republic, Dirty Uncle Sam, Truth Radio Broadcast. Now, what I was saying right before we went to break, I've always been in somewhat of a conflict. You're a man of this era, you know, with the U.S. Army War College. You've done amazing stuff in your career. I kind of stick to the past, to history. Bruce Ray Riggs and I, we kind of specialize in Civil War era for a reason. It is my position, it is my position and Bruce's position that our government was overthrown a very long time ago, in fact. So it doesn't surprise me when I see mechanisms of this government that calls itself, and we have called itself our government, doing these things. In 1868, 11 states delegates forced out of a ratification process of the 14th Amendment, at pretty much at gunpoint. Some senators were kidnapped and brought to meet to the quorum. States that withdrew their ratification are listed today as a lie and having ratified it. And from that point on, we have kind of gone off the rails of constitutional government. It took them nearly 100 and some years to get us to this point of 1913, where we saw, of course, the Federal Reserve. All of this planted upon us. I know you know Colonel Mendel House that made it very clear that every American's biological property would be registered. This isn't a new world order. I don't believe is new at all. I believe that this is the old world order, just repackaged and reinvented and placed back. If we look at the Bush family itself, now I'm a conservative. I've been a conservative most of my life. So as most Americans, I was lured into following the grand old party. And it shocked me when I discovered that the neoconservative movement was started by admitted Trotskyites. It blew my mind. It absolutely, I looked them, I thought like I didn't know myself, that I had to look in the mirror and say, who are you that have been following these people?
Mid and late 1970s, actually, both in that background, and a number of them were sort of disgruntled Democrats. They saw Carter's negotiation of the Camp David Accord as the sellout of Israel, and so they came over to the Republicans and worked within it as the bulk of the Jewish population votes Democrat. About 80% roughly will vote Democrat in a given election.
Yeah.
That's also when the new anti-Semitism came out, which was defined in the late 1970s as any criticism of any domestic or foreign policy of the state of Israel, of any Israeli official, or of anyone within the United States who supports Israel.
Yeah, Sigmund Freud really messed the minds of many, many Americans into falling for the fact that we can ignore fact and evidence just because it seems like somebody might get offended. I don't know. Thomas Jefferson and Patrick Henry would be rolling. Lord.
Actually, I don't think they'd be doing it. We'd be having another revolution.
Yeah.
But you know, it's really interesting that if you read the Constitution, I mean, I know you have, but if one reads the Constitution, two things become very clear in it. One is that the federal government, while it was a step toward centralization over the Articles of Confederation, really had very limited power. And when the Constitution says Congress shall make no law, they meant the Congress. They did not mean the school board in Des Moines, Iowa, or the county government in Orange County, California. They meant the Congress.
Amen.
Period.
Amen.
That was it.
Yep.
And the second thing is that power, while within the federal government, congressional supremacy did inherit. You know, Congress can remove a president or a Supreme Court justice. Neither one of them can remove a member of Congress. But power resided in the states. That was where the power
in the people. In the people.
And, which is why any powers not enumerated here for the Congress are reserved to the states or for the people.
Right.
Or to the people. You know, very straightforward.
Yes.
And the Civil War did change that. It reversed both of those.
Yes. It was basically what the Civil War reversed was Magna Carta common law. That's what it reversed.
That's a good way of putting it. I had not thought of that, but you're right. That's a good way of putting it.
And you know,
and that was entirely different, which is not something the framers would have accepted.
No,
I would dearly love to see the Constitutional Convention if you could have flipped up a screen and shown them.
Oh,
America battling over transgender bathrooms.
I suspect
Benjamin Franklin might have gone along with that. He had a very interesting past.
He did have an interesting past, but I don't believe he would have gone along with it. I believe he would have known.
I don't think he would.
He knew how to hide. As a matter of fact, they found several bodies in his basement.
Yeah. You know, pedophilia was something else for Ben, but we'll pass on that. But anyway, I mean, if they could have looked at that, I somehow think that they would have contacted King George and said, we didn't mean it. Will you take us back?
Sir, can I plant just a thought in your head? Tell me what you think of this. I look at our U.S. government. I do not see a U.S. government. This is what I see. You ever hear that expression, he showed his true colors?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the color of the United States flag, red, white, and blue, is no mistake. I was watching a festivity for the Queen and three jets fly over Parliament in Great Britain with the red, white, and blue. And that was years ago. And it planted a seed in my head. Then when you look to the British reporter who reported that the World Trade Center Building 7 went down before it ever did, then
yeah,
you realize that
the camera and you see it standing in the background.
Yeah, he's right behind her. Then you realize that, okay, MI6 is involved. Who did we fight? Who did we fight? Now, the queen on her throne are I believe, 12 stones that surround, well, anyway, she believes that she is direct descendant of the house of David, or whatever, however those beliefs go. The lion. The lion is, yeah, I mean, this is historic. It goes very deep history into this. So you look at these connections and you start seeing, you don't see a new world order. You see a very, very old world order. But here's the problem. Now you have Rothschild, who is essentially the one that really kind of calls the shots, I think, for the city of London. I think I look at the queen as kind of a figurehead, more or less. But you see, MI6 has to be involved. We have 7-7 that we know is a joke. Not a joke, and you know what I mean. But here's this British involvement. Now, who brought the State of Israel into being but the Balfour Declaration? Britain again. All of these connections, if you go back and back and back and back, keep landing right at the feet of the British. Now, who owned the British? Now, I've always said... I was born and raised a Roman Catholic. I was an altar boy. I loved going to play the football games. There's good parents, good people. I started learning things, about key Jesuits like George Tenet. And I realized, I was having this conversation with the network owner about who really was in control of things. And we see these same connections all leading back to the Vatican. But at the same time, it's almost like a marriage of these top entities all planned to create this state in Israel. So is it any mistake that all of the best of MI6, which, by the way, gave birth to the Mossad, now we see it's like a Frankenstein's monster. How do we stop it? That's the real question I have. How do we stop this? I mean, this is going back in history. They've planned this. If you read the words of Albert Pike, who told you that the Third World War would be between Islam and Christianity and Judaism. Your thoughts?
I don't think it's practical to go back 1,000 years and try and crack what we're dealing with today.
Well, all I'm saying is that let me finish.
It's not a matter. We are past the point of trying to look for ultimate causes. We really are.
Well, I think
we are in America right now, roughly in the equivalent of late 4th century Roman Empire. We still have a strong military, but the society and the economy are rotting away within.
You just answered exactly what I was trying to say in too many words.
And what we need to do is put the grand metaphysical and meta-historical question aside and try and figure out the modern equivalent of stopping those damn barbarians from getting across the Rhine.
Well, I agree with you there.
We have some very specific tactical issues in both a political sense, an economic sense, and a military sense to deal with. And if we don't deal with that, we're going to hemorrhage before we can address any of the grand questions. And I think too often, this is not a criticism of you, by the way. This is
that's fine.
Of the way Americans function. We so often get wrapped around the grand questions that we lose the ability to deal with tactical questions.
Very good point.
Let me give you a very specific example in the context of what we've been talking about. Back in 2011, when the second flotilla was getting ready to go to Gaza, okay, I had a long talk on the phone with Ken O'Keefe, and I talked to some other people on it.
Good man.
And I said, listen, I have a few friends, a few retired admirals I've been talking with. What you have to do on this is put a single ship ahead of however many you have with a U.S. flag, U.S. registry, and all U.S. crew, and as many American veterans as you can get on it. Now, I have some good skills in strategy and policy. I have no skills in organization and administration.
Right.
Okay? That's just the reality. I just don't. I can tell you where the organization has to go, but someone else is going to have to put it together. And I said, but I'll be on that ship if you do this. I will be on that ship. And I had told my wife about it, who was not overjoyed.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And Ken got back to me afterwards, and he said he put that idea to the International Steering Committee, and they refused.
Wow.
It had to be an international group meeting, which just tells me that at least a certain number of that International Steering Committee are taking money from the Israelis.
Bingo.
Because the way they set it up is the ships just sort of dribbled in, and the Israelis scarfed them up one at a time. You know, the whole thing collapsed in farce.
Bingo. Infiltration every time.
And they simply could not focus on a very specific tactical problem, which is put Americans up front and force the Israelis either to let them pass, in which case the blockade is broken and the others will follow through, or to open fire on it. And there are no bets at that time of what that the United States Navy would have just simply set aside. These days, 5 years later, I think they would stand aside.
Well, I can tell you right now, sir, you have my phone number, and I chatted via email with Ken a few days ago, and I'll tell him too that if you ever guys ever want to take a crack at it again, I'm with you. And I'm sure my sweetheart probably wouldn't like it any more than when I went to Oregon. But be that as it may, all evil needs to do, regardless of what cloak it wears or what loyalty it has. And one of the reasons why I poke around, I poke the boundaries because, you know, you have these groups. And I've noticed something after reading The Art of War. Knowing my enemy is essential. Well, the only way to know your enemy is to study history. Those who do not know history are doomed to repeat it. So I always entertain sometimes ideas that I will discount, but I'll entertain the idea. And the problem that I see, that's part of critical thinking. The problem that I see, we have generations now of kids who have not been taught how to critically think. They've not been taught to consider all options and through process of elimination. These common sense things that we were taught as children, we see generations of children now being untaught, being dumbed, literally dumbed down. And when you trace the roots back to where this all begins, it always comes from the same source. This is a Marxist, and even Israel. I mean, I talked to fellow conservatives who are ardent supporters of the state of Israel, and I said, when did you get on board with socialism and communism? This is a national socialist state that we're looking over at over there. That's not anything from the Bible. It's not anything remotely close to anything that established this republic.
Well, you know, but that started in the early and mid 1960s.
The push.
My wife was brought up in First Baptist Church, and you know, her church didn't have any of those things of, you know, alternating U.S. and Israeli flags, and she was brought up in it. And it was a very clear, concerted effort that with the evolution of AIPAC, or the morphing into AIPAC, was an active proselytizing of evangelical Protestant pastors.
It was a concerted effort.
Gifts, medals, all the rest of this stuff, monetary awards. and the creation of Kofi, you know, Christians United for Israel.
Christian Zionism itself was, if you look back to the history of the roots of it, was built upon Cyrus Schofield's Schofield reference Bible that was pushed all over in Oxford University Press and Samuel, and it was funded by, get this, Samuel Untermeyer. It is the only Bible, by the way, that Oxford University Press ever published. And in the reference Bible, it has footnotes that pretty much give you the entire God's chosen people, the land, all of that. It departs completely from everything that the Bible ever said. And they use little tiny picked verses here and there to back it up. But it doesn't hold up to the test. We'll be back after a few words from our sponsors. Resurrect the Republic, Dirty Uncle Sam, with Dr. Alan Sabrowski.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel. Great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customer. It works for me. Return to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just two bottles, a four-month supply. I take Extendivite three times a day, every day. I think the supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Resurrect the Republic, Dirty Uncle Sam, Truth Radio Broadcast, Tom Lacovara Stewart, Bruce Ray Riggs, Lori Anderson. We are on the line with Dr. Alan Sabrowski. And, sir, before we went to break, one of the points that I was trying to make with bringing up all of this history and these different theories, which I don't necessarily fully subscribe to anyone completely, what I have noticed about mine enemy is that the enemy has a way of dividing us into and splintering us into a thousand little pieces, a thousand little groups or belief systems or whatever. I have friends, some that swear it's the Jesuits, it's of Rome. I have others that it's all the Rothschilds. Some say it's all Israel. I say it doesn't matter. When somebody commits crimes, if every good man were to do the honorable thing, regardless of color, flag, or any other manifestation or club, we wouldn't have to worry about these things. What I'm trying to find is a way to unite all of us. And what can we do? What can we do to push this forward positively, in your opinion?
It's too late.
Do you think so?
I'm absolutely certain of it. It's probably been too late before 9/11.
Yeah, I think.
And I don't say that with any satisfaction or joy. You understand that?
No, I understand.
There was a slight possibility around between 2010 and 2012 when there was some momentum building after the first Flotilla tragedy.
Yeah.
And you had the International Human Rights Commission, the ICJ, Gaddafi was in Libya, had the presidency of the General Assembly. There were some good people on the Security Council, and they were pushing for the Uniting for Peace resolution, knowing that the U.S. veto on the Security Council would stop that from working. The Uniting for Peace resolution in the General Assembly allows it to act as if it were the Security Council. In the case of the Security Council, it was stymied by a veto. Mm-hmm. This was a U.S. idea in the early 60s, by the way, to get around the Russian veto. And that momentum was going, and it went through the summer of 2011, and when the last truck convoy into Gaza collapsed in a disaster at the Rafah crossing, you had the pictures of this handful of people sitting in the sand with Egyptian police, and the second flotilla collapsed in Fars. It was as if the air went out of that momentum.
Yeah.
And it went flat.
I've seen Ken O'Keefe has been trying to resurrect that momentum for a long time, and he's been doing one heck of a job at it.
He's doing the good, but the people aren't there. I mean, the Middle East right now is an absolute shambles. And none of the countries that would have been able to come together within the region in opposition to it are intact anymore. They've been ripped apart, except for Iran, and that one outside is... If a Republican wins, except possibly for Trump, we've got war next spring. If Hillary wins, and I suspect she will...
Oh, please don't say that.
I didn't want to say that, but, you know, we're not on television, so no one can see our expressions as we lean over the side of the table.
No, I know, I just cringed.
I think you're looking at Hillary Clinton as president.
Oh, Lord. We're going to go into our second hour, sir. We're going to go to a break. Please pray on that thought. Everybody out there, please, not Hillary. We'll be right back after a few words from our sponsors. No!
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.